Here we're live.
Good evening, everyone. I'd like to call this study session of the University City City Council to order on February 22nd, 2021. As we move through, I'll turn the program over to the city manager. There's really not a substantive change to the agenda for tonight's meeting thus far, though the city manager has informed me that the called for discussion on the physical plant and the reopening of facilities was actually requested by council members Clay and Smotherson, not Cusick. So I'm sure that Ms. Reese will make that adjustment as necessary. Are there any other changes to the agenda for tonight's meeting? Hearing none, since I know we've got I believe a pretty lengthy discussion ahead of us, Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor and council members, this item asks the mayor and council to hear a presentation from the I-5 group on our proposed economic development strategy and provide direction. Mr. Cross, would you like to introduce this item?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Thank you, City Manager Rose. As you all know, you've met Mr. Ivendahl and his team, I guess right before the holidays, where they came and provided an update to the mayor and council on the status of the economic development strategy that we were working on with an appointed economic development task force. So we've gone through multiple meetings. I believe there's been five total, taken in a public input, and Mr. Ivendahl has drafted the final proposed draft of the strategy, which I think he's gonna briefly present to you tonight with the executive summary, and then answer any questions that you may have. So Stephen, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Cliff, and thank you, Mayor, and members of the council. It's good to see everyone again. And we have other members of our team with us on this call too, Jackie Wallington, Beth Noonan, and Allison and Gray. And so we have just a brief presentation to kind of catch you up in terms of the overall process, and then we'll leave plenty of time for a discussion. So let me share my screen and we'll jump right into the brief overview presentation. Can everyone see my screen?
Yes.
Well, again, it's good to be here this evening. Just a brief agenda in terms of what our presentation will cover. We're just going to overview where we are in the overall process. Just going to update you on comments to the draft plan, and then just a brief overview in terms of the overall economic development strategy. And our planning team, as I mentioned, the core of us that have been involved in the overall effort. And then just going to catch you up in terms of where we've been since the last time we've gotten together in terms of this update to the work session. Our last work session was back in October. Fall and winter in some ways has gone by pretty quickly. But back in September, if you remember the last work session, we had just rolled out the framework of the draft recommendations back in September. We also had a round of community engagement in September and early October. And then at the end of October, we released the draft economic development strategy. So if you have the document with you this evening, so that was actually released in terms of these on the website back in October. And then in November, we had a public comment period for the draft, that draft document. And then as Cliff mentioned, we've been working with the task force throughout the process. We had our fifth meeting with the task force in November, and then our sixth and final meeting just before the holidays in December. And just a little update on the community engagements. I mentioned back at our last work session that we had hoped to have the library in terms of being able to use that to kind of show some display boards inside. With COVID, unfortunately, that wasn't possible. But we were able to, since the library has been used a lot, even during COVID, we were able to work with the library and put up a couple banners outside the library. You see the kind of picture on the right there, at least with some overview and highlights of the economic development strategy, and then directing people to the website for more information. And then on the left there, we did have pretty good success in terms of folks going to the website to look at the kind of the overall framework and document. Over 600 page views in September and October. Those aren't unique visitors. So take a little bit of grain of salt, but pretty good awareness overall during that time frame, and then about 900 over page views overall since September to now. And then also back in September, October, as you may remember, we had folks could sign up for some small group meetings with the planning team and ask us questions or provide comments via Zoom during that time frame. And then we've been working with a task force all through this process. Originally, we were scheduled to meet five times during the process. We ended up meeting six times plus an additional listening session. It was a very engaged group. So we made sure we had time with the task force to kind of work through the issues, and especially with transitioning from in-person to Zoom and COVID, had the need for some additional meetings with the task force. And then in terms of comments to the draft economic development strategy, we only received a few comments, both from the public session, the public comment, and also also working with a task force. So in terms of a few additions that we've made to the draft document that you have, we've added an executive summary, which I think was shared before this meeting, and also is on the website. So we did add an executive summary. As you see, it's a fairly lengthy document. So the executive summary highlights the six core principles of the plan and really kind of provides kind of an overview of the document. We also added the addition of coordination with UMSL's Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Accelerator Program to attract minority entrepreneurs to the city. A pretty an exciting program that the task force brought up in terms of that opportunity to really again kind of focus on especially those young entrepreneurs. I think I can't remember offhand the number of applicants they had for that. But not only the winners, but even the applicants in terms of potentially being a pool of those entrepreneurs to attract them to the city. And then finally, a fairly minor change in terms of on one of the priority levels, we had priorities for all the different actions in the document, from top priority being one priority down to two and then three. So basically three levels of priority. So in terms of one of those actions, in terms of creating and administering a business survey, we changed from a two priority up to a top tier priority to better reflect, I think, the need coming out of COVID to focus on those businesses. And then there were some minor, kind of minor editing and wordsmithing in the document. So we kind of wanted to kind of give you a brief overview of the document, just kind of walk you through the executive summary. And the six principles, and I'm going to turn it over briefly to Beth and Jackie, and I'll jump back in toward the end.
Thanks, Stephen, and thank you, everyone. So principle one, growing existing emerging business sectors, we really looked at what were the strengths and assets of University City in terms of industry clusters, identify those as being the ones that you see here on the screen. Key accommodations, food services, as well as the healthcare and social assistance sector are really strong sectors for you. And then you have emerging sectors in the professional scientific tech area, as well as retail and some manufacturing. We identify those core strengths and then identify different measures and recommendations and then specific actions on how to best support those businesses and their growth in the community. And then we finally identified some specific measures of success on how you can evaluate what your progress on supporting those industry clusters.
The second principle is really focused on equity and inclusion. As you know, right now, our country is going through a period where inclusion and equitable practices and policies is really, really being pushed and encouraged during this time frame. Municipalities, cities are really being encouraged to look at all of their policies, programs, procedures, using a racial equity lens, not only to evaluate them, but also as they move forward with different programs and things to make sure that everyone in your community is inclusive. This is especially applicable to University City, given that it is a very diverse community. It's not only racially diverse, it's ethnically diverse, as well as economically diverse. There are areas of the city that are performing at a different level than other areas of the community. So the primary focus of this is to really encourage the city to look at the entire city to make sure that all of the residents, all of the businesses are included in whatever policies, programs that the city develops. With that, we've established a number of goals as well as criteria for measuring the success of your programs and policies to ensure that you have a very inclusive community that ensures that everyone benefits from any kind of development that occurs in the community and they can move forward and benefit from it as well.
Supporting Principal Curry, supporting University City businesses and workers. A lot of this is focusing on your business retention and expansion efforts, connecting with the businesses in your community, identifying their needs and providing support or finding the partners to support them. A lot of that also includes not only the existing businesses, but making outreach and looking at the next generation of businesses. So connecting with those home-based businesses as well. Finally, there's also the element of identifying opportunities, not only to support the businesses that are there with work in terms of workforce, but also looking for opportunities about how University City residents may align work that you could do with partners or through your efforts would help to align the folks and the residents of University City to engage with businesses in the community and potentially have employment opportunities with them. So that involves primarily training, working with the University City School District and so on and so forth. So aligning what is available in the city with the needs of the employers in terms of workforce.
Collaboration with local and regional partners is equally as important simply because University City is a municipality within a larger regional geography. Of course, one of the main things that we look at is Washington University because of its role in University City, the property that it controls, and the impact that it has on the municipality. And we're much aware of the fact that you just did an evaluation of the impact on the city, and you are working towards having conversations with them to see if you can change the relationship that has been going on historically. But in addition to the university, there are also other entities, East-West Gateway, MoDOT, other entities in the region that could be very helpful and instrumental in helping to move forward some of your development goals. Looking at Olive Boulevard and needs to make enhancements to the roadways and everything that's there, those are other types of entities that could be helpful with that. One of the other things that Stephen mentioned that was added to the plan, which is another collaboration that you could have, is with the UMSL Accelerator, that their program. So any of those types of entities and organizations that could help move forward the policies, programs, and activities that the city would like to see brought to the city to benefit their residents would be very helpful.
Sorry, a dog in the background. So I muted myself. Finally, on principle five, celebrating and promoting University City. So the focus of this particular principle is maximizing your image, not only to folks outside of University City, but also elevating your brand, but also being able to connect and relate to the businesses within the community and demonstrate yourself to the businesses there that you're a good place to do business. So there's a range of activities. You guys have a great new website, but maximizing that to appeal and provide information to not only potential residents, but new businesses and things like that would be very helpful. Also marketing the distinct areas, distinct areas of the city, but also to being able to communicate more effectively to your current businesses through improved communications, materials, everything that you send out to the businesses in your community, making sure that they understand that you're welcoming, you support them and the work that they're doing there.
And then finally, principle six, utilizing place-based solutions that many of the recommendations in the strategy document, they're not a one size fits all approach. So making sure that things are tailored to specific areas of the city. So as we talked about in the document, really focusing on Olive Boulevard, making sure to maintain the loop as a top 10 street, and then really looking at enhancing city visitor experience citywide. And along with that place-based approach, we talked a little bit about this last time too, in terms of you really think about the city, especially some of the commercial business areas as various districts, where in some districts, new development or redevelopment may be a key priority. But in other districts where you have a fairly strong base of businesses already, or mix of businesses and residential, perhaps some of the emphasis should be more on marketing or placemaking, et cetera. So in the document, we've gone into detail with each of these districts and kind of talking about some of those different recommendations. And then tying back into what Beth mentioned with principle one, in terms of focusing on those key business sectors. So then we've tied those districts in the city with those different business sectors to really focus on in those areas. And so in some areas, even though it's not a business sector, some areas would benefit from increased residential in some of those areas, and we've talked about that again in the overall strategy document. And like with many efforts, there's in many ways there's already some implementation already in progress as we've kind of wrapped up our planning effort. And I don't know, I'll let maybe Cliff maybe jump in here a little bit from a staff level to kind of share some of the things that have already been kind of happening with implementation.
Sure, I'd be happy to, Stephen. Thank you. Well, I think one of the biggest things in moving forward and it's actually on the agenda to talk to the plan commission about it is we're talking about starting up the visioning process again and ultimately moving forward with the development of the new comprehensive plan. So obviously this document would become very important in evaluating and tying to that comprehensive plan so we can move forward with some policy guiding documents out of that comprehensive plan, this economic development strategy. I think the thing that Stephen has on here, and I touched on it with you, and we're getting very, very close. We actually had our training, is we've got the new software. We're going through the final stages, and actually the goal is we're gonna mirror our current software with the new software for the next few weeks, and then we'll be ready to launch the software. And it's got a public portal that I think we're gonna find is much more community friendly and much more of an efficiency tool to help us better assist businesses in both terms of permitting and things like that, as well as just better communication and getting the word out to them. So those are a couple of the big things we're working on. We hope that we can use this document to drive some of those new ideas and plans and policies.
Thanks, Cliff. And then also in the document, just to kind of point your attention to, so after each principle, after each of the six principles, we have a detailed a spreadsheet of implementation action items. And each of those, as I mentioned, are ranked by priority in terms of top priority one, second priority, and third tier priority. Obviously, everything is important, but obviously you can't do everything at once. So the implementation action spreadsheet is a way to really start to prioritize those key actions. And I won't go through all the top priority. I did want to kind of highlight maybe kind of three categories of maybe top priorities that I think kind of pops out into the plan that the plan talks about moving forward. One is obviously the importance to recover from the impacts of COVID, and talking about really, we focus a lot on the business retention of communicating with your existing businesses, especially the retail focus, and starting to set that baseline to measure, you know, moving forward, continue your outreach to businesses in the Novus footprint. As Jackie talked about earlier, the importance of partnerships and the importance of especially the partnership with Washington University, and some key early discussions in terms of not only results of the fiscal impact analysis, but also that vision for the West Loop. And then finally, in terms of the focus on Olive, in terms of there are some developable kind of ready sites up there already. You also have the Corps of Engineers flood mitigation study going on, like a multi-year study, so that continued focus on Olive, both early and ongoing. And then the plan also talks about tracking progress over time. So the document has a list of metrics, and they're tied in with each of the plan principles and recommended frequency of measurements. So a lot of things are measured on a yearly basis, some things a little bit more often, but making sure in terms of looking at some key indicators that, you know, as a plan, you know, has successful implementation, you can start to kind of track, you know, some of those key metrics. And also a way then start to maybe, you know, reevaluate, you know, certain needs over time. If some things aren't tracking in the right direction, you know, using that to be think strategically and maybe change, you know, looking at some changes in direction, but starting to look at some of these key metrics as a way again to kind of measure that success. And we talked a little bit in our last task force meeting about, you know, who kind of oversees that tracking, not only at a staff level, but then, you know, in terms of obviously the, you know, the council has kind of the final oversight. But we talked a little bit about, you know, that tracking that progress over time. And then finally, just to kind of close, you know, in terms of upcoming schedule, I mentioned, you know, we've gotten a few comments back. We talked about the executive summary and a few things that we've kind of incorporated based on the draft. So I guess, you know, in terms of near-term schedule, you know, in terms of moving forward with, you know, with a final document and then having adoption by the council. So with that, I'll stop my screen share and we'll open it up for discussion and questions.
Stephen, thank you very much to you and your team for this presentation to us. And prior to, Gregory, do you have any comments before we turn it over to questions from members of council?
No, Mayor, I think you could move right into the question and answer.
Who would like to be first? If you can give me a little bit of a signal here as to questions that you have for members of the team, then we can begin. Okay. Then, Brian.
Well, I'll start. First of all, I want to thank the I-5 team for the presentation and the entire packet and where we stand now with this packet. I will say one thing, and that is that a lot of the stuff that's included in this packet and this summary is there are things that we didn't know. We already knew. What I appreciate about this is that it put it in a form that we could actually follow now. And that's very important. And I think Cliff even mentioned that is something that the Planning Commission and we can actually use. But the question that I have, and it's interesting, is that, you know, Stephen said this, and who tracks this? Who keeps track of this? Who keeps us on track? And so, and I mentioned this before, and I'll say this in front of the council again, I think that like we did with the Stormwater Task Force, we then created a Stormwater Commission. I honestly believe that we need to create an Economic Development Commission. They don't have to meet a lot, they don't have to be large, but how do we keep track of the progress? We've spent money to develop this. How do we keep track of that and keep us on track? So I just wanted to say that. But the last question that I wanted to ask, and I'll leave it alone at this, with Stephen, Cliff, and whoever can answer this question, if in fact our development proceeds forward after this month, what should be the next priority?
In terms of priority, if the development proceeds per the, I'm sorry, I missed kind of in terms of just the first part of that question.
If the Olive 170 development proceeds and we move forward, what then, because then it's in the developer's hand and we'll move forward with that and he'll progress with that. But it doesn't mean that we just sit still and wait to see how that progresses. What should be the next priority is my question. That's all.
Sure.
On Olive.
So yeah, I'll maybe speak to that, and others can jump in too. You know, and I'm not sure if it's about, you know, in terms of, you know, maybe rankings, you know, per se in terms of Olive. And I think, you know, as we talked about, I think, you know, once the Novus development goes through, you'll see, you know, interest immediately to the, you know, to the east, you know, which, you know, could be a positive. But then I think, you know, also then, you know, further east, all the way down to, you know, to Kingsland, we talked about kind of the Olive Innovation District, you know, can be a very important area. In some ways, that's not really necessarily dependent on what happens with Novus, you know, so it's a bit more dependent on, kind of the tech sector and kind of wanting to come back into, you know, in kind of in-person offices, et cetera. And then, you know, around Heman Park, we talked about the importance of really transitioning to actually having some more residential along Olive, taking advantage of Heman Park, and that, you know, great location that, you're having a little bit more residential there would actually help and support some neighborhood retail, you know, adjacent to that. So, you know, I think, and those aren't mutually exclusive then to the Novus development happening. So I don't know in terms of, you know, I wouldn't necessarily rank those in terms of this one's more important than that one, but I think the city can move forward with some of those initiatives, you know, concurrently, you know, in both the near term and intermediate term.
Thank you. Okay.
Who would like to follow, Mr. Clay?
Thank you, Mayor Crow. Thank you to Director Cross and the I-5 team for presenting this to us. Couple questions, one about process, one about content. In the larger document, the book, if you will, that we were given, it articulates after each principle is articulated, it talks about implementation action items, and it gives a priority to the various items along with a relative time frame in which these things could be achieved. I was just curious, and forgive me if this was mentioned elsewhere in the document, was the prioritization based on what was needed the most or what was most achievable most achievable quickly, if that question makes sense?
Sure. Yeah. And I may let Beth and Jack could jump in too. I think, you know, it's, you know, prioritization is a little bit of an art and a science. You know, it's not, you know, sometimes cut and dry. So, you know, I think it does take a little bit in terms of probably a little bit of more, especially the higher priorities that are achievable, maybe were a little higher ranked, where, you know, some things that were maybe were important, but maybe not quite as, and again, it can vary for certain actions, where maybe a little bit lower priority, maybe a little bit longer, you know, longer time frame. You know, with any type of, you know, document like this, we have actions. You know, some things are more lower hanging fruit than others. So you definitely kind of want to take advantage of those, or, you know, some things are important, but maybe can't move forward, you know, right, you know, as soon, or maybe make them as high a priority. I don't know, Beth and Jackie, do you guys want to jump in at all?
Stephen, the only thing I would add is as we looked at these, we also looked at your staffing and your capacity to actually be able to take on some of these recommendations that we have. So that was another variable that we looked at when we started to rank them, and put timelines on them.
And I thought of that as well, because there, you know, for each principle there, you know, in some cases, 10 implementation items, some of which are rather involved. So staff capacity, you know, was a concern of mine as well. In terms of content, I noticed that there was a reframing, if you will, of OLIVE. The 2009 plan had OLIVE broken up into four sections, interchange, I think, and international and park district and something else. Mm-hmm. And you've kind of changed that. You added actually a Miller Park is one of the now it's five, I guess, segmentations associated with OLIVE. You talk some in the document about why that was done, but could you elaborate a little bit more on the change that you made there?
Sure. No, that's a great question. Very, very perceptive in terms of, yeah, you know, the 2009 document, which was really just more design standards, it didn't really have kind of the economic kind of strategy component, you know, to it. But even the 2009 document, even though it was, you know, just design standards, you know, in some ways it was on the right track in terms of, you know, when you have a street like OLIVE, it's such a long street, you know, bisecting the city, you can't treat the treatments to OLIVE, you know, one size fits all. So, so I think that 2009 was a good start in terms of kind of thinking that, you know, in some different categories, but then, you know, looking on it, you know, 10 years later, you know, we felt it, you know, needed a you know, kind of more, you know, granular and more refined that, you know, some of those things were still, you know, applicable, but, you know, as you got down to on the Eastern end, you know, 2009 document talked about just, you know, Cunningham is going to be an industrial where, you know, Cunningham is obviously very, very important, but I think, you know, also this kind of growing, you know, tech sector and the chance for mixed use along OLIVE, you know, predicated the need to have something, you know, else, you know, besides Cunningham kind of for that longer stretch of OLIVE in that area. And then kind of same way with the international district. Again, you really want to, you know, leverage the strength of the international district. You know, we showed some, you know, analysis that, you know, brings in a lot of folks from out of town, you know, the draws to a lot of those businesses in the international district. So again, you know, keeping that and celebrating that, but again, the 2009 document had that as a little fairly large area, maybe a little too large in terms of defined area. That's why we kind of talked about the Miller Park and trying to find some, you know, the Miller Park was kind of a combination of both, you know, business and residential, trying to find some way to kind of show more of a north-south connection across OLIVE, that, you know, everything about OLIVE is kind of more, you know, bisecting, where that, you know, Miller Park with kind of having some, you know, residential, it's more of a kind of a neighborhood trying to, you know, bisect north and south as opposed to just east and west. So having those north and south connections, okay. We felt were pretty important.
And let me say finally, I like this segmentation better, especially as it relates to particularly calling out Cunningham Industrial, because my council colleague, Councilman Smotherson, has been advocating for this for a long time, that the industrial corridor should actually be narrower and kind of in the back, because having towing and auto repair, and while vital businesses, the University City, I don't want to diminish them. I don't know if you want that on your front door. As people come in up Skinker, they're met with that. I don't know if that's exactly what we want. And so changing that, shrinking that industrial and kind of moving it back, I think makes a lot of sense. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. Thanks for the questions.
Other questions? I have several of my own, so I'm happy to jump in here and then others may join, and I'll try to be somewhat brief with mine. Stephen, just a little bit more, if I could, when you talk about the community engagement process, and I always just like to see where you feel that the engagement was successful or not. You say 900 page views, you say group meetings, six time slots over 2 weeks. Is that typical participation, good participation, lax participation? Talk to us a little bit more. When we're trying to get engagement from our community, it's kind of good to know, did we get the engagement that we needed and that was beneficial?
Sure. And a bigger context was, you know, one of the reasons we had, you know, we asked for the formation of the task force and the formation of having each council person choose representatives from their areas was, you know, we really saw the task force as really kind of being the kind of really the key kind of engagement a tool, because when we began the process, you know, we thought, you know, the comprehensive plan would follow, you know, fairly soon, and comprehensive plan is really a chance to have really, you know, in-depth robust engagement. So, you know, we wanted to be a little bit careful in terms of how we structure some of the engagement, because you don't want to have engagement fatigue. That, you know, economic development principles are sometimes a little harder for folks kind of to get excited about on an everyday basis. So really, we really saw the task force as really being kind of the primary vehicle for engagement, but then also being, you know, very transparent, you know, during the process. So the other tools that we had in terms of the banners at the library, the Zoom, small group meetings, the website, was about, you know, just, you know, being very transparent, you know, during the process. So, and obviously, when we started back last winter, you know, we didn't anticipate, obviously, COVID hitting in March and April. So, not only for this project, but, you know, a lot of our work, we really had to shift focus. But I think what we did hear from overall, in terms of not only from the you know, business owners and folks on the task force, but, you know, folks that we were able to meet with, I think we did hear a lot of positive things in terms of the plan being on the right track. And then I didn't really mention, you know, in this presentation, but I mentioned at the last work session that going back, you know, back in the early spring, back actually pre-COVID, luckily we had a chance. You know, we had a lot of one-on-one and small group meetings with a pretty good cross-section of business owners and other stakeholders, you know, in the city as we began this overall process. And luckily we're able to do those kind of in person before COVID hit. So again, it was kind of a little bit more kind of like structured engagement as opposed to just kind of general open meetings kind of per se.
And then my last question is one where, and I think we had this conversation maybe when I was meeting with you, but I can't remember exactly the context of it. And that was, we talked an awful lot about at one point in time, the senior housing opportunities we had in University City with Kingsland Walk, with Partridge, with Brentmore Place, with One McKnight, and then our proximity to the university, and thus the number of retirees or those who are slowing down who would like to have a livable, walkable environment close to a university. Is there more of an opportunity for us than we already have to access that? And if so, any suggestions for us?
No, I think you definitely do. I mean, you already have a strength, and, you know, you mentioned King, you know, kind of the new Kingsland place, but then obviously, you know, at Delmar and 170 with McKnight and some of those, you know, the facilities over there, you have a pretty strong core. So, you know, we mentioned, you know, the potential for, you know, residential along, you know, Olive, maybe at Heeman Park, that could be maybe kind of, you know, more senior oriented, you know, potentially. So I think you do have, you know, more room there. And again, you know, sometimes the, you know, the term kind of, you know, senior housing, it's a pretty broad spectrum. Obviously you've got, you know, one on the one end of the spectrum, kind of, you know, independent, you know, very active, you know, very mobile, you know, folks that are, you know, take advantage of the arts and the restaurants and dining and just entertainment aspects of University City. So you've got one that aspect, and then on the other spectrum, you've got, you know, obviously, you know, more, you know, assisted living and skilled care. So it's a pretty wide spectrum, but I think especially on that more active independent living, you know, still a lot of strength for the city to kind of pursue that.
Yeah. Thank you. Other questions from my colleagues? Mr. McMahon.
I'll try to be brief. I hope my question makes sense. But the question I was having, I was looking at the UCity Loop District specifically, and it sounds like the plan would be to maintain what we have, increase the tech sector, but it's more of a marketing and image question of drawing people in. And the question I was having is, it seems like what we're saying is, we've got a good brand there, let's keep it going. But was any of that assumption challenged, given the fact that we do see vacancies in the Loop? When we had construction on the Loop, it cut down some of the traffic. We have COVID hitting, so that's cutting down traffic. Some of the revenue that seemed to be decreasing, not to say that the shops and things we have down there aren't drawing people in, but is it a challenge to that assumption that we've got something that we need to just maintain, but brand market more? Or do we challenge those assumptions? Do we look to the types of businesses that we need to keep that good mix to draw people in? And who's our target? It looks like you're saying we draw from national and regional, and then we're balancing that against as well against the university being nearby and the students. Is there a breakdown in any of those, all of those kind of things that mingle into the Loop? Is there kind of a directional path that says this is where we should head with that area specifically?
Yeah, and I think the plan actually talks a little more about more than just kind of maintaining what you have. It talks about, I think, the importance of having, especially kind of we identified, some kind of target kind of priority, either development or redevelopment, areas. And we talked about kind of area on the west, West Loop area, that area like as being kind of a target area, because you've had a lot of new development, further east and, east beyond the city limits. It's really having, the potential for new development on the western end to help kind of better, anchor that. And then, you had some kind of recent, recent openings in terms of the new kind of tech working center on Kingsland that we talked about in terms of, I think it's not only apartments, but you also kind of got tech artistas want to have a tech working center, center there now too. So it's more than just, marketing, but it's also some, potential for new development. We also talked about the need. You don't want to kind of disturb the process too much, but I think there does need to be some, refreshening of the public realm. In the Loop, obviously with, in the fairly recent past in terms of, construction with a trolley, any type of, like when you mentioned kind of public realm infrastructure enhancements, it makes some of the business owner obviously, a little queasy. But I think, that freshening that public realm, is important too. So yeah, it's not just a silver, one single thing for the Loop. It's kind of a, these mix of these different factors moving forward.
Thank you.
Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor and Council Members, I would ask that you also keep in mind that the Loop Special Business District is going through its own strategy, economic development strategy / visioning process for the Loop. I think some of the big issues that will need to be addressed is such as what will occur with the trolley? Should there be a strong relationship between University City Loop and the St. Louis Loop area? So I think that process, which is also, as I understand it, will be led by the I-5 group. So they'll have that connectivity with our own economic development strategy. The contract will be considered at the next Loop Special Business District meeting. So that'll be its own own process. And I think will certainly add value into what we ultimately, you as a council, ultimately decide about our own strategy.
Are there other questions from members of council? Hearing none, unless I hear otherwise, I appreciate the team from I-5 taking the time out to join us this evening. Cliff, thank you also for being a part of that. Are there any other matters to come before this body during its study session? Hearing none, then we will adjourn the study session at approximately 6:15, and we will pick up at 6:30 for the regular session. Again, Stephen, Beth, Jackie, Allison, did I get everybody? I think I got everybody. Thank you all very much for joining us this evening for the work you've done for our city.
Thank you. No, thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you.